Way back in the 8th century B.C., the prophet Hosea wrote in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, "Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence." The very next verse extends that invitation. So let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. For surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains and like the spring rains that water the earth. However, our problem is described in the next verse, verse 4. "What can I do with you, Ephraim? And what can I do with you, Judah?" Speaking of his own people, God says, "What can I do with you? For your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears." God is on a relentless pursuit for our hearts. This is the pursuit that takes us from the first page of the Bible to the last. It's the pursuit for your heart and for mine, that we would love him, because God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God says to the prophet, to his own people, your love is not loyal. Your love is fickle. Your love is unfaithful. Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. God wrestling with the human heart. What will it take to love him and to follow him and to stay faithful to him? And so, as a result, back to verse 1, he says, "Come, let's return to the Lord. For he has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. And he has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds." Often when we walk with the Lord, for us to be taken deeper in him, we do know that the Lord not only uses blessing, but he uses pain. He says, in the active sense, not someone else has torn you, but I have torn you to pieces. And he says, I have injured you. And it's because it's often whatever it takes to find again the heart of God that God will use. In fact, Hosea says back in chapter 2, "I've put a hedge of thorns, a ring of thorns around you. For I know your hearts. You're constantly wanting to go to the other gods and to the other nations. You keep turning your back." And God plays, in fact, in Hosea, the role of the jilted, unwanted lover with the love of his life, his own people, going another way. So he says, "I surround you with thorns so that when you go, the pain of your other lovers will be worse than what it seems it would take to be faithful to me." And in chapter 5, he uses not only the hedge of thorns, but the hiddenness of God. He says, "There are other times I'm going to give you over to the other loves that you would prefer over me. I'm going to let you go where your rebellious hearts will take you. And I'll let you be victimized, because everything we substitute for God in the end turns around and only victimizes us. Only the God who created us frees our lives." But he says, I will let you go to the other nations and to their gods, and they will victimize you, and I will hide. And I will go to my place and wait until again there's a hunger for me. Suffering and pain are very difficult things in our lives. They're difficult to understand, and often we don't know why we suffer. And sometimes, you know, it may be spiritual battles, the enemy coming against us. Sometimes we suffer because we live in a world that's just flat out fallen, and we're weak and we're frail, and we're victimized sometimes by things we have no control over. But no matter what we're going through, some of you have brought incredible pain to this place tonight. Perplexity, unsure, family problems, work problems, health problems, psychological challenges. I want to tell you, whatever the source of our pain is, God is always on a relentless pursuit for our heart. And sometimes the right question isn't, why are you letting this happen in my life? Sometimes the right question is, God, where in the midst of this can I find you? Where can I, as Hosea said, come, let us return to the Lord. Not that even our pain means we've wandered from him, but there is the place where he calls us to himself and calls us past our resources, past our sufficiency, past our self-dependence, past our self-promotion and our self-centeredness. And he's constantly calling us back to his own heart and to his own place. And look at the promise of that first verse of Hosea 6. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. This is God's plan, that he will come to bring not just loss and pain, but that in loss and pain, we cry out for him and we find him. And his call is always beckoning us back to his heart. That countless, constant, relentless pursuit for our hearts, which can be confused, and pain can lie to us, and pain can tell us there's no God, and he's not faithful to me, and I can't trust him. But somehow, in the midst of that, God is still relentlessly coming after our hearts, and still, in spite of anything we experience, we find him in his heart. And he says, I've torn you to pieces, but I'll heal you. I've injured you, but I bind up your wound. And then that next verse that we read a few minutes ago. After 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. In the Hebrew poetic way of writing, 2 and then 3 would probably mean a short time rather than a long time. But ironically, 2 days and 3 were the length of time that Jesus spent in the tomb before he rose again. Possibly when we first read it, you said, that story of Hosea, those two verses sound vaguely like the story we are celebrating tonight. For he has torn us to pieces, but he'll heal us. He's injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he'll revive us. And on the third day, we're going to be celebrating the third day, Sunday morning. On the third day, he will restore us that he may live in his presence. The great story that we celebrate tonight is that God did so love us. His love's not fickle. His love's not unfaithful. He knows our hearts. He knows our wanderings. He knows our questions. He knows our vulnerabilities. And he speaks to us sometimes through pain, and he brings us back. But here's the even greater story. Into the heart, into the center of our hearts, God planted his cross and hung his own son on it to say, I will be the one. Although Hosea said, I surround you with the ring of thorns, Jesus took a ring of thorns and wore it as a crown. Although God says, for you to be desperate for me again, I'll let you be victimized, but I will be hidden for a while until you call upon me. And here we see Jesus hanging on the cross saying, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet I love how one of Jesus' closest followers, Peter, put it in that very familiar verse, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, where he says, he, Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. For by his wounds, we have been healed. I never tire of that phrase. It's the most remarkable phrase I can imagine. The most unfair transaction I can also imagine. By his wounds, we are healed. God said through the prophet Hosea to his people, I've torn you, but I will heal you. And on the third day, I will restore you. And over that, God, the Father who loves us so much, he superimposed his own story. And he declared through his son, he said, he was wounded for us. He bore our sins, all that makes our heart wayward, in his body on the cross. And by his wounds, we have been healed. More than God saying, I've wounded you, but I will heal you. He's saying, out of love for you, I wounded my son so that you might die to sin, so that finally the battle for our hearts could be conquered, and that you might live for righteousness, and by his wounds we could be healed. And he's here to heal tonight. He's here to reclaim our hearts tonight. Maybe your heart's not right with God. He's here to call you back. Come, come, let us return to the Lord, Hosea says. Come to me. And let your sins be forgiven and your heart changed, God says. And let me exchange the brokenness of your life with the healing that I can bring as I give you healing for the brokenness I experienced for you. And let's come to him tonight as we come to the table of the Lord, let's come to him for healing wherever we need. Healing in our relationships, healing in our bodies. After church this past Sunday morning, a member of our congregation came to me and talked about the incredible stress, financial stress, physical stress. He was seeing the doctor the next day. The prognosis was very bad. And I just took out my anointing oil from my pocket and I just felt to pray for him. Financial pressures are bad enough, let alone almost life and death physical problems. I just anoint him with oil. And prayed for him, and we stood in faith as others had already prayed for him in our church family. And he called me 3 days later. He said, Pastor Jim, he says, you need to hear this. He said, by that Sunday night, God took care of the financial problem. And the next day, my doctor said, we don't know what happened, but you're like almost healthy again. You are healthy again. And you know what? What happened 2,000 years ago was the story of God being torn so that we could be healed, of him being rejected so we could be accepted. And Jesus told us then to regularly, and we've been doing this often recently as a church family, to take the bread that reminds us of his body broken and to take the cup that reminds us that his blood was shed to purchase us from sin and Satan and to make us his own and to keep our hearts and to change our hearts, that we would love him well, we would love him loyally, we would love him lastingly, and in turn, he would give us grace, life, forgiveness, abundance, and healing. We call it the table of the Lord. It's not a literal table, but rather it's the table of God's abundance, which he purchased for us. He said to his people through Hosea, I tore you, I injured you to get your attention, to bring your heart back to me. But now we celebrate the new covenant where he was broken and bruised, that we may be healed and forgiven and set free.